True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
16-hour workday for people there with two rain delays, two games. Pirates won the back half of the doubleheader, a Paul Skeens game. Skeens didn't factor into the decision what else is new, but they beat the best team in baseball 8-4, which usually is cause for minor celebration. Hey, we beat a really good team. Nice. Well, it's not when your setup man in the middle of a game is jumping up in the air like he's Theo Ratliff trying to block a shot to slap a Pirates fan, allegedly, in the face during the game. Noah Hyles was there. And Noah joins us right now. Is he on the phone or is he on the video call here, Dom?
He's on the phone.
Hello, Noah.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. It's just been brought to my attention that maybe some of this ground was covered on the morning show, but I've been told in radio that audiences change every 15 minutes. So there's that. Yep. Did you cover the ground of the slapping and what caused it? I know what Santana said, but there's scuttlebutt in clubhouses, and maybe you heard more about that, and maybe you've heard even more about that since you talked about it this morning.
No, I mean, I hadn't heard a ton more about it, Andrew. I mean, my big takeaway is, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation. I've been around Dennis Santana since the moment he arrived in Pittsburgh. He's a very calm, relaxed guy, as he kind of pointed out, following the doubleheader. And it makes me really wonder, I mean, what could have set him off to do that? He's been in the big leagues for 8 years. He's played in some really big markets, and he's never had anything like that happen before. He took accountability for it. He admitted that it was wrong, but he said, I believe at least three times, that a line was crossed. So if he's not willing to share what that line was, then, you know, we weren't going to find out that night. It seemed like the team had his back in the clubhouse.
So they thought it was justified then. Wow.
I don't know. I don't want to say that, but I will say one thing that was very interesting to me was, I remember during a part of the interview with Dennis, I turned around and looked behind the scrum, and there was probably four or five Pirates pitchers lined up, maybe 5 feet behind reporters, kind of listening in to what was said. And I think that they were all kind of, you know, concerned for their teammate in that spot. I mean, this is, you got to remember last year, a Latin player did something, and it wasn't along these lines, but he spoke to the media without a translator, and his words kind of got taken out of context, and it created a huge, huge issue one that probably didn't need to arrive.
That was with the Mets, because, where the guy said, basically, yeah, this team sucks and I can't wait to get out of here, and then he got released for it after that.
Exactly. So yep. I think, like, during that tense situation where every bit of context matters, it stood out to me that the Pirates were keeping an eye out on their teammate, who they knew was in a very rough spot, and they wanted to make sure that he told his story the best way possible for his chances of continuing to be a productive baseball player moving forward.
He's got to get suspended, right? I mean, Pham told guys to go play with themselves, yeah, and got suspended. You try to attack a fan, and there's probably going to be a big suspension regardless of what those players said to him, right?
Yeah, I would have to assume that's going to be the case. I can't even venture to guess what that punishment will look like, simply because I've never covered anything like that. And you can look at different instances in different sports leagues, but every case is different. I think it's going to be something that's going to be extensively reviewed, and I think it's going to be something that's probably appealed whenever, because I think the MLBPA is going to have a strong stance that defends Dennis. I don't know if they're going to ever go out and say that his actions were justified, but I think the full context of this situation really does matter when you're deciding if this is, you know, a short suspension, a long suspension, a suspension that includes a fine, all of it. It's something that you can't just figure out and divvy out a punishment instantly for.
Do you think that he will get a more lenient sentence because it was a slap and not a punch? Do you think slap is less egregious than punch? Punch tells me you're trying to do more damage. I think slap is more disrespectful if you're trying to slap a grown man in the face, but you're not trying to do as much damage if it's slap versus punch. You're not trying to put the man in the ground, if you will.
I mean, I'm sure that argument will be made. I don't know. I mean, I think
you seem to not have an opinion on that, when I feel like you have an opinion on any number of things. You don't feel like there's a slap versus punch debate to be had here?
The slap versus punch debate, I mean, that's been covered by Dave Chappelle. That's been covered by a plethora.
Oh, and now because they've covered that ground, you feel like there's enough's already been said on the topic? You have no opinion on it? You plead ambivalence?
I don't know. I was going to give an answer, but you interrupted me. I was going to say, I think every bit of context will be considered when his punishment is being decided. Was he didn't run into the stands. Did he try to grab someone? Was he just trying to take a swap, a swipe to kind of scare him away? I don't know. I'm sure he'll explain his side of the story a little bit further to the people who decide his punishment. And maybe the slap versus punch thing does come into play. But like I said, I mean, I personally can't give an informed answer on that because I've never decided if that was grounds for a heftier punishment.
Now, what happened with Pham? If those fans were yelling at him, "Hey, buddy, you haven't got you haven't had an extra base hit since April 26th," and he said, "Well, that's not cool. It's true, but I don't like people saying that. I'm going to have security throw these fans out of the game." Well, that doesn't seem right. So do we know exactly what went on there? Pham has been involved in many incidents, not many good plays lately. And he was also part of the chaos in Detroit last night.
Yeah, that one was also interesting. Tommy was not available to talk to us after the game, so we didn't get really any answers on that. Don Kelly's explanation was he didn't hear what happened, but apparently Tommy took offense to something somebody said, and he had those guys removed, and they were removed pretty quickly. I mean, we see that in a lot of sports, like especially basketball. I feel like that happens a lot in the NBA, where a guy will be upset with what a fan sitting courtside said, and those fans are removed. I don't know what was said, so it's hard to judge if it was.
Well, let's just say hypothetically that they were chanting 194, 194, 194 repeatedly.
Then yeah, that's not worth being.
I agree.
What I was gonna say is, what was more interesting to me is Tommy took it upon himself to stop play and address the issue. Like, he wasn't batting, he wasn't on the field, he was in the batter's box.
Mm-hmm.
And
he called a timeout for the whole game?
Yeah. Yeah. If you go back and watch it, he walked.
Time. Hold on here, guys.
I swear, that's what happened.
We have an international incident. These men are calling me, they're calling out my below the Mendoza line stats here.
I don't want to joke about that, because if they were saying things that were inappropriate,
I agree,
he was justified to react.
Yep.
However,
I'm with you on that.
Regardless of what was said, I thought the big thing that certainly stood out to me. I was watching the game. It's the top of the 10th inning. And I'm like, why is Tommy Pham walking on the field right now? And I mean, he was on deck, but he started walking toward the umpire, and then he started pointing at the fans in the stands.
Wow.
He himself kind of stopped the play. And I don't know if I can ever remember that happening from someone who wasn't between the lines.
Yeah.
Where if they,
I have not
know,
seen
where
that.
The field. Yeah, that so that was interesting, and I'm sure we'll learn a lot more about that in the next hour when the clubhouse opens.
Noah, thank you. You had a marathon day last night, and you've had a doubleheader today as well, so we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely, Tony. Thanks for having
there
me.
There you go. That was a Bucko Minute with Noah Hyles, and we would have had the Bucko Minute bed coming back, but Dom is dropping the ball today.
You didn't tell me it was a Bucko Minute.
I mean, it's 2:35. You should know that by now. Mike Florio is back with us, brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. Mike, also brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, have you ever made a long drive with a little kid in the car?
Yes.
Any advice besides leave early while the kid is sleeping?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Make sure that the kid is constantly occupied with something. Back when we did it, when my son was two, we went to Disney World.
Oh, God.
And we actually bought a small TV VCR combo so he could watch movies on the old VCR tapes. That's how long ago it was, to keep him occupied in the car. Leave early, let him sleep, and when he's awake, make sure there's stuff he can watch the whole way. That's the key.
Mike, I want to also bring up, before we get into the football stuff, on Father's Day, my wife and daughter wanted to go down to Oglesby. We like it down there a lot in Wheeling. We had no idea that you guys got pounded the way that you did by those storms. We're driving around, and everything's closed. I knew it was bad when Sheetz wasn't open. I'm like, oh, my God, if this place said we can't do business right now. And so we've seen pictures on the news up here in Pittsburgh. I hope everything's okay with your family and friends, because it was just sad to see the amount of devastation. I have no idea how that happened there. It was just wild.
Well, we live in Bridgeport now. I grew up in Wheeling where it all happened.
Yeah.
But in Bridgeport, it was nothing. I woke up Sunday and I started to see images of the flooding in Wheeling. It's like, what in the world is going on here? And actually, one of my friends that I've known 50 years, his car was in the shop in one of the areas that got hit, and his car got washed away and totaled. So
Man.
A lot of damage, 7 deaths, and there was still at least one person who was missing. Just incredible how quickly the water rose, and it was 3 to 4 inches of rain in 40 minutes. Just horrible. The road up to Oglesby, Route 88 there, that got hit. A lot of areas got hit with that torrential downpour, flash flooding. Terrifying how powerful water can be.
TJ Watt. So we know he's not there. We've got Micah Parsons talking now about his deal. Do you think there's a chance that Watt wants to be last because it drives up the price if Hendrickson and or Parsons get paid before he does?
Absolutely. There's benefit now to the player in letting others go first. And one guy that I'd forgotten about is Aiden Hutchinson of the Lions. He's in line for a second contract. Now, he's coming off of a serious leg injury, but he's checked all the boxes, and he's in line. So any of these guys, it pays to go after the ones who are already getting paid, but you want to get your deal done before you put yourself in any type of harm's way. So the drop-dead deadline for all of them should be week one, but there may be some hesitation among the agents because they can be very competitive. I'm going to do my deal, and then I'm going to get leapfrogged by the next guy. That's a very real concern, and I think the longer the TJ waits at this point, the better for him. Same as Micah, to a lesser extent with Trey Hendrickson, because he's not going to come in top of the market. But still, go ahead and let the top of the market go as high as it'll get, and that gives you a chance to come even higher than you would have been.
There was a report in The Athletic on Browns practice that said that among the quarterbacks there throwing in shorts and a t-shirt, that Kenny Pickett was, quote, pretty unremarkable. Mike, I know you wrote this week, you think there's actually a chance that he could be the odd man out and get traded again a third time in 4 years.
Well, think about how this all came to be. Early in the offseason, the first move the Browns made when they had nothing at quarterback was to trade Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a quarterback they drafted out of UCLA in round five a couple of years ago, for Kenny Pickett. He was the safety school. He was the placeholder. Everything after that, I think you could argue, supplants him. They add Joe Flacco. They draft two guys. And they're putting out the idea now. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com had the story recently that they might carry four on the 53-man roster all the way through the end of the season. I don't buy that. I think they're trying to build some leverage so they can move one of these guys. They're not going to trade the two rookies. They want to see which one of those guys can become the future. Flacco's the fan favorite, mm-hmm. who doesn't need a lot of practice reps to be ready to go. Pickett, to me, has always been the most obvious choice to be traded before training camp. I think they'd like to do it. And one of the ways you maximize your value is to create the impression you don't want to trade him.
Mike, how long have you been with NBC now?
16 years as of July 1.
Okay, I want to see if you can help us with an internal issue here. Big time, massive conflict at our radio station. So, and you're a lawyer too, so this is perfect. So on Sunday, I don't know if you were watching the U.S. Open. They did a big dramatic open to the tournament, the final round. It's played in Pittsburgh, where this is where the steel industry was. You got to be tough. You got to be rough. You got to be blue collar to win at Oakmont. And they have Michael Keaton narrate this. But before Michael Keaton starts his narration, they had a theatrical presentation where an actor was dressed up like a steel worker, gets into his car, going to work in the morning, and turns on the radio, and it's our radio station. Now, the first voice you're going to hear is someone who works here. I'm going to play it for you quick.
Good morning. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Pittsburgh's hometown sports talk station.
Let me tell you a little bit about where I grew up.
And then Keaton gets into it. So now I'm going to give you more story. That voice is a producer from our morning show who also does a pre-show from 5 to 5:40. Now, this is where you come in. There's an allegation that's been made that NBC emailed him for audio to start that segment, and instead of going to get the host saying the station name, he went and got his own voice to do it because he wanted his 15 minutes of fame on the U.S. Open broadcast in front of Michael Keaton. His defense has been NBC just did this on its own. They didn't email me for audio. Mike, I find that very hard to believe that somebody at NBC would just comb through our radio station hours of audio to find an exact clip like that and not use a resource here like a producer. You've worked for NBC for almost two decades. Tell us how the sausage gets made, please, in a situation like this.
I can tell you from my own experience, and I'm very reluctant to get in the middle of anything that doesn't involve me, but I will tell you this. Super Bowl 52, right around there when we were in Minneapolis, there were broadcasts that were done from the site of the Super Bowl, and the show This Is Us, remember the popular NBC show?
Yeah, that was based
show,
in Pittsburgh too. Yep.
They were doing the digital version of the broadcast show, and I think for the broadcast show, they used a clip from Dan Patrick's show. For the digital version, for whatever reason, they needed to use a clip from my show. Mm-hmm. And it's NBC. I figured they don't have to ask.
Yep.
They were very thorough about communicating and asking and are you okay with this and do we have your permission to use it? So my own experience is when my own network is using content that NBC owns, they bend over backwards to make sure that it's okay.
Wow.
So draw whichever conclusions you may from that.
And we will. Mike, hope everybody you know down in West Virginia is doing okay, and we appreciate you coming on. We'll talk again next week. Thank you.
See you, pal.
There you go. Mike Florio.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bob, so wonderful to be reunited again. An entire region is glad for your presence.
Since you like to sing so much.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Reunited because we understood.
I don't know the rest.
There's one perfect thing in Pompey, this what it is. We both are so excited because we're reunited. Hey.
You like that, Sean? And why didn't you, join in?
He's affecting me. I've become this Joe Stark. Whenever song he's singing in the day, I do it throughout the course of the day. Sean, what's happening?
What was the name of that group, Bob?
Peaches and Herb.
That was terrific, guys.
Peaches and Herb or Herb? Wasn't his name Herb?
Herb.
I don't think it was Herb Brooks in that group, was it?
No.
What do you remember about him, Bob, when he coached the Penguins?
Oh, I loved the, if you saw it like in between games or after a game when he was really fired up, he would not hold back. That's what I always liked about him. He reminded me of a way... Bob Berry. Do you remember Bob Berry?
Oh, yeah.
What he used to do?
Yeah. Those two guys had two of the three greatest rants in Penguins history,
exactly.
Along with Therrien.
Michael Therrien, yeah. So, yeah.
Herbie lived in a hotel right here in Greentree. I interviewed him in the hotel room.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was walking one day, and J.S. Auban was walking his dog, and Herbie bent down to pet the dog and threw out his back. Did you know that?
That sounds like the territory we're walking in these days.
It really does. The other thing with Herbie is he just wasn't happy with like the hockey world at that point. He wasn't cut out for the NHL. Can we agree on that?
No. I mean, the thing that I remember obviously most is the gold medal and all of that. That's the fact that it becomes a movie is pretty amazing. But yeah, I think he wanted more of an opportunity to showcase skating and the finesse of the game, skating of the game.
Remember his opening press conference when he shredded Kevin Constantine? He said, "We're not going to skate backwards anymore, like Peggy Fleming. We're going to move forwards." He just seemed distracted the whole time, Bob.
Yeah, and sadly, the way he died, too, that's another scary thought.
That was. I'll never forget, I used to travel with the team on the plane back then. I swear to you, he was more interested in teaching me the stock market and mutual funds than he was in the games. I've told this story before. They got blown out one night in Ottawa. 6-0, 8-2, I don't know. So we're on the team plane afterward. I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be near the coach or anybody else. He comes and sits next to me with the USA Today money page in hand. And he's like, Joel, this is, you know, he starts pointing out all these different things right after the game, Bob.
That's terrific. See, those are priceless moments. How many people can say that?
That's true. I mean, that was.
Did he know you were interested in money? Or
No, I wasn't. That's the thing. So he was trying to, you know, evangelize me into, and he did, into you got to get a retirement account going here, right, buddy. Or you're not going to have any money when you retire. What
very
a man
smart,
he was.
Very smart. Bob. That's a lesson for all young people out there. Get it going early. Save all the money you waste on stupid stuff. Try to put it away and save some.
Bob, guess who's on the line this morning? I don't know why he's not in person. Is he on vacation? Where are you, Tyler Kennedy?
Tyler Kennedy.
Oh, you're playing Kennedy. Golf. You're in Pittsburgh.
That's what he's doing.
Exactly.
So, you know, at least I was very transparent with this, Tyler. The other day when I was playing, I told Joe and Austin beforehand, I said, I'm going to be at this event, but I'll call you and I'll put the earbuds in and we'll talk as I play. Are you doing that?
No, I'm actually down in Charleston. My daughter's at a dance competition right now.
Ah.
So, and
by the way, she's a very good dancer. I have to tell you that. I'm glad she didn't take after you there.
I know. She, yeah. If you would have saw me on the dance floor, no one worked harder, but I can't dance. But I was golfing Friday at Neverwood. I went in the rough and I went to smoke one on 15. I was like 250 yards out. And my hybrid got stuck in the long grass, and I have now I have a real bad sprain on my wrist.
Wow.
And who says golf isn't physical?
I can't. I'm like, my wife's laughing her butt off because she's like, you're the only guy to ever get hurt golfing.
Not true.
No?
No. I messed up a rib once, and I couldn't swing for 2 months.
I've missed 8 months out of my career with torn rib cartilage. I needed to get injections into my hand for a problem. Pulled muscles. You're not the only guy, Tyler.
Yeah, know what? I feel I'm not a good guy when I'm hurt either, because I felt like I was hurt enough during my career. I thought when I retired that like I was done getting hurt, and that's not the case. You know, I feel like all my old injuries are coming up. And I'm just battling. I'm just like getting old and battling.
Well, let's not bury the lead here. One of our favorite shows in the Starkey household of all time is Dance Moms. I know every episode by heart. Softball moms, volleyball moms, and dads, I might add, on both parents are interesting enough, but there's nothing like Dance Moms. I don't know if you've seen the show. What's the vibe like there with the other parents, Tyler? It has to be interesting.
Definitely very interesting. And my daughter watches Dance Moms religiously. It's like insane. But here, like, I feel like the moms, this is just a quick take. The moms take dance more serious than the dads take hockey.
I agree.
In my, like, when you see, like, I can ask any mom at the convention if they know their daughter's dance. And they know it to a T. They probably know it better than the daughter, which is like hilarious, you know, but it's fun. I love watching my daughter compete and, you know, dance in front of other people. It obviously takes a lot of, you know, guts to get up there and dance in front of people. But it's been fun. Like Charleston's beautiful. We're ditched downtown. It's nice. It's a nice little town, but it's hot. It's like 90 degrees, not much wind. And it's a battle sometimes going for walks.
Now, do you heckle the other contestants?
Come on, Joe.
No, because they have dads, too, and I got a bad wrist, and it's my good hand. Yeah, you got to pick your spots, boys. You can't go after guys, especially when you're hurt. You know, you got to find the smallest guy in the crowd.
Bob, did your daughters dance, and did you go to these contests,
absolutely.
And did you experience
Rosalind,
the ferocity of the parents?
Not really. I mean, Rosalind Kenneth School of Dance was the place we went, and they were good big dancers. We had them on our free care fund show that we did for Children's Hospital every year, and they put together dances, and they were really good. And they had some great teachers over there, and it's very competitive. A lot of these dance competitions get very competitive, and you're right, Tyler. They, you know, for young kids especially, to get on stage and do it, especially solos or stuff like that, where you don't have a whole group with you, that's good. It's a good learning experience for all of them.
Yeah, it's solos are pretty, because you can't pass the blame on to anyone, right? It's solely right. on you, you know. And so my daughters go to Thomas, and
yeah, that's where my granddaughter's going now. Thomas, I saw you down there.
Yeah,
we just had two recitals.
Really?
Yes.
See, I was never
a dance. Treat, Bob?
What's that?
It's a real treat, right?
How about that? They back those, but I'll give them credit because back in the day, Tyler, you know, what the routine was, okay, they had one day dedicated to everything. So you would be there for 12 hours. At, you know, now it's changed, and the Thomas School does a good job of kind of breaking it off into two weekends. So at least you're not there, and you know when your kids are going to dance, so you don't have to stay for the whole thing.
Right, and that helps a ton. Like, a lot. Yeah, it's just, right now, we're here all day. Like, and my daughter does one, she doesn't even do a solo, but she's here all day. It's pretty intense. And it's more of like, for me, I'm like the guy keeping my other two contained. My other two kids, I'm just trying to keep entertained in like a school gym. It's like, it's tough. I got my little TK running up hills in the parking lot, getting some work in for hockey. But it's a lot, you know, and it's a lot different than hockey. It's, you don't travel every weekend. You just go for three big weekends, and that's kind of it. And that's your year. So it's been a bit of adjustment getting used to this dance stuff. But what the best thing for me is
doing radio with us, just occupy some of your time.
Yeah, 100%. But I can't give my daughters a tip or nothing like that about dance. Even I think my kid likes golf. TK loves golf because I can't give them tips in hockey. He's probably so tipped out or giving him advice and all this stuff. He's just like, Dad, shut up. Or in golf, I'm at Neville asking other dads, like, hey, why is he fluffing the ball? And, you know, you ask any other golf guy what's going on with your swing, you know, they're going to come up and help you out. So it's been interesting not being able to help them in different sports.
You should show up ripped to one of these competitions like Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers. Remember that? Bob?
Yes.
Was that his name? What's the actor? Dennis Hopper, right?
I think so, right? Is that right, Sean?
Legendary.
Is that right? I think that's right.
A legendary performance. But let's, before we get to the Stanley Cup final, Tyler, Connor McDavid could be on the market here. He has 1 year left on his deal. All he has to do is say, I'm not going to sign here, and you almost have to trade him unless he's set on going, you know, one more year in Edmonton and then seeing how much money he can make, which he might do in free agency. But just for blanks and giggles here, if you were the Penguins, what would you offer for Connor McDavid?
They can't offer enough. That would never happen.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I would...
10 first-rounders and anyone on the team.
How many first-rounders?
5 first-rounders and anyone on the team.
I was talking today to a couple other people. I would offer 7 first-round picks and anybody they wanted other than Sid.
You're doing the Ricky Williams treatment, huh?
Yeah, anybody they wanted other than Sid and 7 first-round picks is what I would do. It's the best player on the planet, and he's 28 years old, Bob. Now, you'd have to be able to sign him, obviously, to make that make sense. But Bob and Tyler, I mean, this guy could legitimately be on the trade market.
He could be. Tyler, what do you say?
Like, I can't believe the Edmonton Oilers management can't get a better supporting staff around Connor McDavid. When I look at trade deadline, and you have Seth Jones and Marchand that are getting shipped out, I am living on the phone with those GMs. I'm offering them everything and trying to get ahead of Florida. Like, I think Edmonton Oilers would have won if they had Seth Jones and Brad Marchand. Like, I cannot believe that they didn't make those kind of moves and who they went after. Like, the what really hurt the Florida Panthers, or sorry, what really hurt the Edmonton Oilers was depth. Depth was the whole thing in goaltending. But if you added one more good D to Edmonton, it changes. Now you can go back from Bouchard to, say, a Seth Jones, and now, even on the top 4 or top 6, you're going from Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and then you come back with a Brad Marchand, who's probably, behind McDavid and Draisaitl, was probably the best player on the ice. Now it's, you can work with that. But when I watched that final game, I was just looking forward to see McDavid and Draisaitl back on the ice, because the other guys, they just did not bring enough to the table. And no matter who you are, you can say Connor McDavid, but when you have your top nine players and your top four D-man and a guy like Bobrovsky playing against Connor, they're going to be able to shut him down. You got the whole six players on the ice, including the goalie, just trying to stop him. They're giving him the outside. They're clogging up the middle. He was trying so hard, but they were just so good at relieving pressure, clogging up the middle, not giving him much. Like, I felt bad for him. And, you know, I think Connor McDavid's going to have a huge conversation with management and be like, guys, I'm giving you one more year. If we don't pick up some legit players, I'm out of here. I can see what happens with Gretzky. Same thing with Gretzky. Like, and for him to come to the Penguins, I'm just not sure if that's a place where he is high on his list. I think playing with Sidney Crosby is, but
what would be? What would be number one on your list if you were Connor McDavid and it wasn't Edmonton?
L.A. I think they have a young team. I think
they have a good team too.
Yeah,
and they have a good team and
they need a superstar like that. And they have a couple who used to be, not anymore. But yeah, that would make sense.
And I think Connor McDavid is not like loves the limelight. I think he likes to sit in the weeds. I don't think he's like this big like social media guy. I think he likes to do his thing and kind of just play hockey. I don't think he's that big face. Like, I don't think he's that bigger in life personality that you're going to get a ton from. And I think when you go to a place like LA, when you leave that rink, you're like anyone else on the street. There's probably 10 more people that have way more money than you walking down the street. So when I went to San Jose, it was unbelievable because we were like the poorest people in San Jose. We were like professional hockey players just because of, you know, the city we were in. And I think a Connor McDavid would thrive with not having that much attention and just playing hockey. And you look at their team, like they had they're a team that beat Edmonton Oilers the first two games. Like, they're a team that's up and coming. So I think LA Kings would be a great team for him to go to. I just wonder what the management at the Oilers is going to do, because this summer is a very busy summer for the Edmonton Oilers. And if they don't do something, I can see Connor McDavid leaving the Edmonton Oilers. But the problem is he going to leave without Draisaitl? Him and Draisaitl are the best 1-2 punch since Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do this summer.
To your earlier statement, and I agree with this, I think, if anything, he could be motivated to tell the people in charge, hey, look what they did and why didn't we do this? For me, when I saw the Marchand trade to Florida, I said, of all people, he fits right into what they do. He's a high-impact player, but he plays that nasty style. They have a lot of that in Florida. This is also a bad time to be around a team like Florida because they just got every component that you would want. But for them to get up those two guys at the trade deadline, kudos to them. They came up with two pieces. That may be the best, Joe, could be the best trade that we've seen at a trade deadline in a decade. What he offered them and what he was able to do in the playoffs, and that doesn't even take into account Seth Jones, who was really another tremendous add for them. So, I think this offseason is going to say it. I just don't see him leaving right now. I don't. Unless it gets very ugly. But they went to the finals two straight years. They were close, seven games last year, you know, and it almost went that way this year. So, I don't know.
Guys, don't you see, guys, like, when I watched his post-game interview after they lost, it didn't seem like he was an emotional and cared and thought he had a chance like the years before. When I watch it, it was like very interesting because he almost knew they had too strong a team to compete. Where last year he was losing, he was crying, he was going, boys, we got to go now. This year he was almost like, guys, like, this team is like so rock solid from top to bottom. And then consistently, like, Didn't you see that in his interviews? Like, it just looked like he knew they were better than they were.
Yeah, that was hard for me to tell. But with an ending like that, you know, maybe he was just numb. You know what I mean? It was clear to me, Tyler, that Florida was the better team throughout. I felt that way going in. That's why I picked them in six. And frankly, it could have been a sweep or five. They were that much better. Would you agree?
100%. Like, when you watch just a period, like, you're almost surprised Edmonton won two games. Like, when I watch, I'm like, how did Edmonton win two games? And if they would have actually started on time in Edmonton, like, they would have probably might have won that game, too. But just, like Florida was so dialed in from start to bottom, it was, like, it was crazy. Like, every line did their job so well. Their energy guys played their energy. Their goalie, like, you want to talk about maybe a Conn Smythe winner? Like, was there a goalie in the playoffs that was more consistent than Bobrovsky? Like, I didn't see it. Like,
if I were Connor McDavid, that's the one thing I would say behind closed doors to my GM. I say, you know what? We have the same disease that Toronto has. We can't have you know, those guys did the best they could, but they're not on the same level. They need goaltending.
And that third goal in the last game when Skinner kicked it off to he kicked it off to Reinhardt, and Reinhardt scored. That changed the game. Like, that put the nail in the coffin. That was, like, unbelievable. And that was, like, a rookie goalie mistake. That was, like, a first-year goalie. What are you doing? Like, these guys are way too good to give up a rebound.
He has to catch that puck and not let a rebound occur.
Exactly. And that's, like you said, Bob, like, that might be the biggest problem on that team is their goaltending. Like, when you're switching goaltenders in the final, that's a pretty big problem right there.
All right, Tyler, coming up next, you're available for another segment. I'm just assuming that. Am I right?
Yeah, boys, I can talk all day. I got time.
All right.
Time. Did you make a wrong turn there? You had Siri talking to you. Boys,
if you would see what's on this guy's my plate right now, it's insane.
All right, we'll talk next about a very interesting add to the Penguins coaching staff and a little bit about the Penguins offseason. Tyler Kennedy brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. Well, we got Tyler, and then we have a six-pack. That's the immediate future. And Bob and I have a bunch of different pirate topics. Maybe an NBA topic involving a local kid. Mm-hmm. We got Steelers things going on, everything. Six-pack brought to you by Bet365 and Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Bob, if people want to get in touch with Sean, don't call me Seth Myers, or relay a question to us. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you, and you have a message for the Pompulus.
I do, Joe, and this is big news from West Shore Home. You know, for a limited time, you could lock in 4th of July savings. You know, this is the time of year you want to make changes to your home. You know, the rain is going to subside here, hopefully, and we're going to see 95-degree temperatures next week. So this could be a great time for you, especially if you're looking to improve your bath, your windows, your doors. Free installation on your new bath, windows, or doors. They also have flexible financing options to make your project even more affordable. But here's the kicker. All you got to do is go to westshorehome.com/fan, and you'll get an extra $500 off your project just for being a listener. So don't wait. This offer will not last. This free installation, great finance options, and $500 at savings, westshorehome.com/fan. See the website for details, but surely make it West Shore Home this summer.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And Fan weather comes to us via Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hot with storms likely, and a high of Jesse James, which is 81. Jeff Hathorn in. ESPN
just put out its all quarter century football teams. They made some outrageous picks. LaDainian Tomlinson, not among your top three or four running backs, was insane. But Jeff has an idea. Let's switch this to Steelers since the year 2000. Jeff, please take over.
So we will go through all the skill position, pick the best offensive lineman, but we'll start at quarterback. Is there any question here?
I mean, Kenny Pickett for sure.
Well, I have to get my mic on first. Yes, no question.
All right, so Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback, your yes. running backs. Jerome.
How many do I get?
Two.
Okay.
Jerome is easy. Who do you guys have as number two?
Le'Veon Bell.
I would say that too. I hate the way that ended and I hate how it got, but as far as strictly running ability and what he, yeah, Le'Veon Bell.
All right, I agree.
Did
with
Jerome
that.
Do his best work in the 2000s?
It didn't matter. He
or
was
in
still
the
90s. He's still in the conversation.
Because
don't
he's
of course,
a Hall of Famer
curious.
and won a Super Bowl in the 2000s.
I think he still had some great years. I'm just trying to remember what he did.
Willie Parker would probably be
Willie
the third
Parker,
option.
Willie Parker's an underrated guy, but I go Le'Veon. You?
Mendenhall
had some very good years.
He did.
He didn't just go off the crazy train.
I can't even remember who the running back. Oh, Najee was the running back lately. Yeah, not much there.
Speaking of Willie Parker, how about this? This is according to Alex Cazora. The last time the Steelers scored an opening drive touchdown was in week one of 2008.
Opening drive to start a season.
It almost seems like.
Scored an opening drive touchdown in week one.
Yeah.
2008, Willie Parker had it.
It almost seems like it's been that long since they started a game that way.
It does.
Like
it's
any
been
game.
At
yeah,
least been, a year.
At least a year goes back to last. Yeah.
All right, wide receivers.
Well, Antonio Brown.
Three.
Okay. Antonio Brown.
Has to be.
Hines.
Yeah, still
for
there.
For sure. Oh, boy, Jeff.
The third one.
This is one of those where it's like,
oh.
I went with Santonio.
Oh, boy. Santonio. Absolutely Santonio.
Yeah. I mean,
but
yes. When
Plax, Mike Wallace. Juju all had more receiving
yards.
Yeah,
but Santonio did what
Santonio
none of them did.
Won them a Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl MVP and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I'm
catch.
Not just talking about that catch. That whole playoff, he was unbelievable.
He was.
Yeah, I'm taking him. Good one, though.
Tight end.
Well, there's no other conversation
right?
on him.
Best offensive lineman during that time.
That's a good
Holy
question.
Ostrich milk.
I'm going to go Pouncey.
Oh.
But Faneca still is my, he was still around
Faneca's
to win.
Gold jacket.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's
he did
hard to go
most
against.
Of his work yes. in the 2000s.
All of it.
It's Faneca.
Yeah, it's Faneca.
For me.
And Pouncey,
I'll tell you who's not
good.
Far behind is DeCastro.
Yeah, but would you put Pouncey ahead of DeCastro or not?
At the height of their power, maybe. Maybe not.
You know who's underrated in all this, and he was here a short time, was Hardings at center.
Really yeah. good. Yeah.
He was very good for them. Defense, nose tackle, Casey Hampton, no objections.
No objections,
unless it's Mount McCullers.
Defensive tackle.
Cam.
And there's two.
Mm-hmm.
Are these defensive tackles or defensive
I'm going to say
Aaron Smith.
Aaron Smith's a good one.
Who am I missing?
I was thinking of the guy who...
Kiesel, Tuitt.
Stephon Tuitt was my pick. That was the guy I was thinking about.
He had a ton of talent.
He was. And if he had just continued to play, I know he had his, stuff with the family and everything, and he walked away. He just walked away. We haven't heard from him since.
I'm going with Aaron
He was
Smith.
Really good.
Yeah.
Outside linebackers, fairly easy.
Two
Harrison
of them?
Harrison and Watt.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the Harrison video, by the way, that was posted about, I don't know,
when
last
he
night?
Called Kiesel?
No, where Josh Miller walks in and says, How many James Harrisons would it take to beat a silverback gorilla? And he was lifting, and then he put it down and said, two. Josh goes, why two? He says, well, one's got to film it.
That's pretty good.
That's a great line.
Anytime this comes up, though, I have to plug Lamar Woodley, who I think got a
postseason-wise, he had numbers that no one else had.
The greatest, who is the greatest sacks per game artist in the history of the National Football League in postseason sacks
right?
for game It's him.
Yeah.
It's not Lawrence Taylor.
He had multiple.
It's not Bruce Smith.
Back when
it's like
they
two
made
every
game. Two every game.
It's Lamar, yeah. Blanking, Woodley.
Here's the thing. Harrison and Watt each force 33 fumbles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's wreaking havoc.
They're
inside,
the obvious choices.
Inside.
It's unquestionably, for me, the Farrier pigeon.
There's two of them, though.
Who's the other?
Who's your second? I'm going with the guy who ran with him for about 6 years, Lawrence Timmons.
Yeah, Lawrence Timmons is good. Whatever happened to Lawrence Timmons, by the way? He's gone out.
How about Lawrence Foote?
That's
a good one, but I'd give Timmons.
How about Ryan Shazier? Terms of talent, might have been the best of the bunch.
Unfortunately, the injury took that out.
Kind of like the Gale Sayers. Like,
yeah.
If he would have been in the league.
If. He would have been, but.
Well, are we going resume?
Don't you have to do resume if you're talking about the best?
This was our same Jack and Tiger debate, which nobody would doubt that Jack had the better resume. But if the question is, who was the better player at the height of their powers?
Jack.
You say that, but a lot of people would say Tiger. So,
who would you say, Jeff?
If you're asking me who are the two best inside linebackers for the Steelers since the year 2000, for me, it's James Farrier and Ryan Shazier.
I disagree with that only because of, you know, unfortunately, he would have, but I got to look at what did happen on the field. That has to be a big consideration on this. But how would you answer Jack Tiger?
Jack.
Thank you.
Jack.
It's Ohio State, you know.
Jack.
I know.
I mean, Jack finished second.
Like, 19 times in majors.
Third, but again, that's stats and resume,
but it's,
which I get.
Although I will
it didn't
say
have
this.
But again, he didn't play at a time when media was
Who's better, Gale Sayers? Or, this isn't Jack Tiger. This is different. Who's better, Gale Sayers or Frank Gore?
Okay, I understand that point. If you're talking about dynamic player, we could talk about dynamic player if you want.
I'm just talking about pure greatness. Who was
you could make the argument that Frank Gore should be in the Hall of Fame based on his career.
I think Jack played against mentally tougher players than Tiger did. Those guys were playing.
But Tiger, to his credit, wore them down. Tiger's,
oh, I know.
Tiger's
we only have 48 seconds.
Right. Well, whoever says that is a moron.
Safety.
See, here we go. This is
safety.
Sean had to, instead of all this stuff going away,
what
it's a bring it up.
By Sean.
Polamalu and Minka. Safeties? Or
clearly.
Do you put Ryan
yes.
Clark?
No. I love Ryan, but no.
Ike and who?
Wait a second. Wait a second. Ryan Clark was a hell of a player.
He was. I'm not
going
saying
Paul
he wasn't.
Amalo and Clark.
Oh.
I'm not.
No, I have
the
to
impact
go.
Impact plays are Minka.
I know.
Corner, Ike and who?
Ike and,
oh, God.
That's a good question.
I have
because
Deshae.
Holy horse. Oh,
now you're going.
I have Joe Hayden.
McFadden.
Joe Hayden.
Yeah. Hayden, I guess. Hopefully it's Joey Porter Jr. as this conversation
Who's your punter,
goes on.
Jeff?
Jordan Berry.
Who's your kicker? Boz, right?
Has to be Boz.
Boz.
Nobody
would have been Reed up until a couple years ago.
You have another hour and a half? Who's your coach? Cowher or Tomlin?
I didn't even want to broach
offensive
that
coordinator.
Subject
there have been
Matt
a lot
Canada.
Of those.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, guys. Have
a
wonderful day.
And you're a spiritual guru. You're a philanthropist. You're an example for everybody in the country.
Joe's out the door to play golf. Have a good one, Joe.
See you guys.
See you
Thank
guys.
You, Sean. That was
Bye,
great.
Bye, Sean. Don't
Thank
call
Give
me.
Us one Sam. More Dom, the intern, drop before you say
He's
goodbye.
In the building now.
I love that kid.
Moron. Well, whoever says that is a moron.
Of course, I'm a moron. That's what
I
it is.
I insulted Bob.
Yes, he did. Bye-bye.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Extra writes in, Marvell Smith was a better tackle than Allen Starks. Yeah, Marvell Smith was really damn good.
We talked about him before the show, too.
We did. Yep. Much debate.
Yep.
Someone also texted in that instead of doing the Steelers all quarter century team, and that's what we are doing right now, we should do the worst Steelers all quarter century team we could put together.
Ooh. That is a good one.
I did an offense real quick.
You did?
I did, yeah.
All right, let's go.
You have to play significant snaps, I think, to be included.
Yes.
So I don't really want to do this, but I feel like I have to do this. Quarterback Duck Hodges.
Yes.
That guy never should have played in the NFL. He's going to be on the softball team.
Yeah, he's going to be on the offense. You're going to manage him.
That's great. He's going to punch me in the face after I just said what I said.
Yeah, he made the most of what his opportunities, man. He's
no
fine.
Question. He it ain't no his quibble. Fault that they
no.
played him.
No, he has no probably regrets or anything.
And he had great moments, too. He threw a gorgeous touchdown pass against Arizona.
And you know what? For all it's worth, like, he is loved here in Pittsburgh. You know, even though people knew what the deal was with
yes.
him. He'll always be welcome back and always be loved in Pittsburgh as Duck Hodges.
Who's his lady?
Lainey Wilson.
Yes. Lainey Wilson.
Right.
I mean, he parlayed a nice career at Samford into Lainey Wilson. Ain't no regrets from that guy.
No.
My two starting wide receivers, Lymus Swede, Dante Moncrief.
It's a good one. Those are good. Those are good.
I think one of the most important things you can do as a wide receiver is catch the ball. Those guys weren't very good at it.
Right.
And this is all in good fun. No offense to them.
Yeah, it's all good.
Running backs. Jonathan Dwyer.
Okay.
Kareth White. Remember Kareth White?
Yes.
There was a game, I believe it was against Cleveland, might have been Cincinnati, in the Duck Hodges year, where he was handing it off to Kareth White.
I'd throw in Jalen Samuel, too.
Oh! You know what? Jalen Samuels, though, he had a great game against the Patriots.
He did.
Where they ran the toss a million times, and he rushed for over 100 yards. I think the Patriots were kind of inviting them to run the ball.
He was out of position, though.
You think he's more of a wide receiver?
He was like myself. He was like an H.
Yeah.
Coming out of college. He should have played H back.
They could have used him better, I think, too.
Right.
Like, I thought he was actually more talented than the production he ever got.
Tight end Eric Ebron?
Oh, man. Ladarius Green.
He didn't even play, though.
I know. He played a little bit.
Yeah.
He played a little bit. Those are two good ones. We're Arthur Smith over here. We're running two tights. We got two tights. We got Eric Ebron and Ladarius Green. Good luck to you, defense. And then I hate to do this because I've been quite critical of TJ Watt lately, but I think his brother's the fullback. And if it ain't his, it's Cam Hayward's brother.
Yeah.
It's either Derek Watt or Connor Hayward.
Derek Watt.
Yeah.
Center.
Kendrick Green. It's funny you say that because I went back and I looked at Super Bowl 45. Steelers lose to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Obviously, everybody remembers that. Their starting offensive line was Jonathan Scott, Chris Kimoyatu, Doug Ligurski, Ramon Foster, and Flozell Adams.
Man.
That offensive line was horrendous. Now, all due respect to Ramon, who had a great, fruitful NFL career and was a really good player for someone who just busted his ass. Yep. So I'm not including him in there. But if you put the Steelers version of Dotson and then you take Ligurski out and you throw in Kendrick Green, I think you got your line right there.
There it is.
The fact that Jonathan Scott and the old rotting husk of Flozell Adams were starting a Super Bowl is just criminal to me. And Ben was running for his life for basically three straight seasons there. Defensively, I didn't write down. We can maybe revisit that, or we could do it on the fly.
Yeah. Jason Worlds.
Oh, man.
Jarvis
didn't
Jones.
He retire to...
become a minister or something?
I think he became one of them Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, something.
Like he was knocking on doors trying to get people to...
Didn't they draft him over Sean Lee?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the other one you said?
Jarvis Jones.
Oh, yeah.
He might be number one. Artie Burns, number one.
Artie Burns and the little dude who changed his name. Antoine Blake.
Yeah.
Real bad. Yeah. Mike Mitchell at safety.
Yep.
Who just couldn't catch the football, or a lot of times, instead of attempting to catch the football, would just try to line people up. He was sort of a throwback.
Yep.
I actually like talking to Mike Mitchell. Real funny quick story. Or quick story that's a little bit funny. I was talking to Mike Mitchell. We were walking out of the cafeteria training camp, whatever year it was. And he tripped. And I went, whoa, safety hazard. Because it's a safety.
That was the story?
That was the story, yeah.
Man.
Any laughs from back there? Charles? RJ? No laughs? Ross Cockrell, very nice man, but also probably deserves to be on this list. That secondary was criminally bad. Just terrible.
But we're only going from, like, I mean...
Allen?
These are, like,
another nice
2010s
guy.
Yeah. Players. I mean, there's probably some bad ones from 2000 to 2010.
Anthony Smith would be my second safety. The guy that called out Tom Brady and the Patriots. The Patriots were undefeated. The Steelers were 9-3. Mike Tomlin's first year. And he said, we're going to beat them. And then Tom Brady scored and went up in his face. So that would be my other safety, Mike Mitchell. Yeah, next to Mike Mitchell.
Anthony Smith.
Yeah. You can text us 412-928-9370. You know what? We didn't give our other wide receiver.
Who's yours?
It's got to be Holmes.
Or Plex.
Or Mike Wallace.
Or Emmanuel Sanders.
Or Martavis Bryant. A lot of good wide receivers came up in here. I think it's down to Plex.
Randall L.
I mean, shoot, one of the iconic plays in Steelers Super Bowl history. Throwing a touchdown pass. I think you got to go Holmes, though, because he was a Super Bowl MVP.
Absolutely.
But Mike, and really, if they did playoff MVP, he would have been the playoff MVP, too. He was so good in the AFC Championship game. He had that long catch and run. He had the punt return against San Diego, and that game kind of got dicey for a minute or two, and that opened things up for the Steelers and kind of settled them in. Yeah, it's got to be Santonio. My mind went immediately to Plex, though, dude.
Yeah.
And then I went back and I compared his numbers to Mike Wallace, and Mike Wallace had about as many receiving yards in two fewer seasons and had a dozen more touchdowns than Plex. But Plex was also in that run offense. I mean, they were running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. Ben's rookie season, that's all they wanted to do was run the ball.
Who was opposite of Plex?
Hines, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Oops. We're having a day.
Yeah. I like this groove, though, Harry Callis.
Look at you. Look at you trying to keep the peace over here.
Give him some positive vibes so he can come through in the pinch. So.
Only been teasing Dave Wannstedt the entire show, and
Harry's back there with intern RJ. Forgot to call him.
Well, you asked him once, and then he just kind of didn't even acknowledge
he that. Might not have heard me.
Where'd you get the Six Nations shirt?
My Guinness shirt?
Yeah.
Got him on in 15.2 seconds flat. Bam, he's on hold.
Why not 13.9 seconds?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Dave Wonstadt joins us right now. And, Coach, how you doing today?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm out here. I'm watching a little football practice. That's what I'm doing, you know?
Pit practice?
We are practicing with no pads or anything, but I guess this is equivalent to the NFL's OTAs. They got no pads on, but they can do drills and everything for an hour or something like that. I don't, you know, how the rules change every 6 months. So, but this is, I had a great team visit this morning and then visited with Alan Green, the new AD, for a while, and just kind of watching a little ball here.
Coach, I saw you on Saturday at the U.S. Open, and you know, we discussed, you know, having you come on the show obviously today, and you told me that you were going to talk to the Pitt football team. How different is it now, you know, college football, obviously with NIL and transfer portal, compared to whenever, you know, back in 2009, whenever we were playing?
Well, the biggest thing is, and you know, it is the commitment from a team to an is no different, but now all of a sudden it's not just a veteran team coming back with freshmen. As you know, there's 20 transfer portals here and 20 freshmen here. So the challenge now is to and everybody uses this word culture. It's, to me, culture is commitment. Now the key is to get 50 new people, players from your team, to make the same commitment in meetings, on the practice field, you know, I mean, in the classroom, get 50 players that are new to make that same commitment to win. Now, I think that Pitt has a nice advantage because they do have a winning blueprint for it. You know, Pat Narduzzi's done a great job. He's won games. So it's easy, if you want to, for a player to get committed and to jump on board, I think. So starting over is a challenge because now all of a sudden you got so many new players and it's a new culture and new that's a challenge. But I think Pitt's got a chance to bounce back a lot quicker than most people think.
Coach Wani, Doug Whaley, how you been, my man?
Doug, what's happening? I'm good.
Great. I got a question. Let's say you were elected the head of the NCAA and they actually had power to reconstruct college athletics. How would you construct it for future success?
Well, the number one thing, the two biggest issues, obviously, are the transfer portal, when and how. I think, okay, you want to have a transfer portal. You know, I would have a time frame. The season is over, okay? Recruiting started so that everybody has an equal, you know, for the next 6 weeks, if you want to leave, you can leave. But then after that, don't even talk about it because there's no transfer portal. We got to have our team ready, and we got to get back going. I think that would bring more quality to the teams, which obviously everybody's trying to get the best product on the field. And the second thing is with this NIL stuff, God, I mean, you know, I know they're trying to put a cap on it now, and they're making some adjustments for next year. But, you know, I'm probably a tough one to talk to about the NIL, to be honest with you, Doug, just because, you know, I mean, I'm still in the school that you're getting, you know, hey, help the kids out as much as you can, but it's not equal for everybody at equal schools. Mm-hmm. Where before you had the scholarship and everything was pretty much equal. You were going to get the same scholarship at Ohio State as you were at Pitt. Well, that's not going to be now the same because of the NIL. So I don't know where you go with that thing, but the transfer portal, I think you could definitely put a cap on that and limit that.
Dave Wonstadt with us here on the Fan Morning Show. This might come out of left field, but Dorn, you know I have to do this. So Rich Rodriguez back at West Virginia. You guys obviously have a history. Do you guys have any kind of relationship, first of all? And second of all, they're going to have 80 new players here. Would you ever think he'd be the kind of guy who would try to exist in this kind of college football world that there is today?
Yes and no. And I do. Number one, I do have a good relationship with Rich. I'll be very honest with you. In fact, when I left Pitt and he left West Virginia, I was doing Fox in L.A., and we were doing a lot of Pac. It was the Pac-12 then, Arizona. He was at Arizona, and I had him on the air a couple of times and on TV. So we, and he ended up hiring a guy that I recommended, Matt Dudek, who is, Dora knows, was one of my recruiting guys, an academic guy. Rich ended up hiring him on my recommendation out of Arizona. So we do have a rapport. I think Rich is an outstanding coach. I really do. Do I think that he can handle the portal? You know, I would say yes. I think that West Virginia can probably do things down there. You know, they're the only it's a situation where there's probably more money and more commitment than most teams because they're the only big player in the state. Let's face it. And so he'll get them rallied and he'll get players in there and he'll develop a good scheme. So he'll make some noise. I think he will definitely make some noise in the Big 12.
Coach, do you think Aaron Rodgers at 41, 42 years old and the Pittsburgh Steelers will work out this year? I mean, like work out to the fact where they actually win a playoff game or maybe even win two playoff games? Or do you think it's just a shot in the dark that, hey, we're going to take our chance on Aaron Rodgers because we have no other direction to go at quarterback?
Well, I would say this. Number one, that I hope it works out for the Steelers and for Aaron and everybody. The question that I have, and I was watching this thing close because of what, you know, Watt's contract situation, you know that he's going to want Myles Garrett money and probably deserves it and on. So I was watching that, and if they did not, if the Steelers did not sign Aaron Rodgers and they went with Mason Rudolph, I says, okay, they're probably going to trade Watt and get a couple first-round draft picks and build for the future. But the minute that they signed Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, they're in. They want to win right now, so they'll probably get Watt done as far as a contract. I would expect that. And the biggest question with Aaron that I have is not with Aaron. He had a good year last year. Steelers have the supporting cast to give him the best chance. You know, when you look at that Jets team, and I know the wins and losses and all that, but the Jets had a very good defense, right? They you know. And they had a good back, and between Devontae Adams and Wilson, Garrett Wilson at receiver, the Jets had some firepower, you know, to help Aaron. I just hope that the Steelers, the guys that they have in those skilled positions, running back and receivers, that group can give him the best chance to be successful because he's going to need some help. He's not the Aaron Rodgers of old. There's no question about that. So I'm hoping he has a good year. I think the supporting cast will be a key for his success.
That's a good lead into my question, Coach. Talk about, from a head coaching perspective, having a team with a bona fide star quarterback and your thought process to one where you need a quarterback to have such a supporting cast around. How do you attack that season? How do you can you talk to our listening audience about that?
Well, that's how I kind of, as you know, Doug, that's how I live my life with having, so I'm not a good enough supporting cast at the skill spot. And, you know, I mean, I would always, to me, the quickest way to help your quarterback is to run the football. And I mean, run the football and become a top 10 rushing team in the NFL. Can the Steelers do that, you know, with their offensive line and their backs? And are they, is Arthur Smith committed to that? You know, I mean, that's the starting point. That's where I would start. I mean, you're not going to invent wide receivers. I mean, the guys you have are probably pretty much what you have. They can all get better and they can all play better. We know that. But, I mean, to run the ball with a quarterback like Aaron, I think is a must to give him a chance to slow down that pass rush and to set up some play action passes, which he does a great job of. I think it can't be lip service. It cannot be lip service, or you're not going to get the most out of them. That's my opinion only.
Dave Wannstedt bringing the fastball. We appreciate you jumping on with us today.
Okay, guys. Anytime.
Coach, thanks, Coach. Give my love to Jen.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you guys.
All right.
See
you. Thanks, Coach.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.